in Isaiah and in the excerpt from Psalm 80 and in the reading from the Gospel of Matthew, we have the imagery of a vineyard and its owner. Throughout Scripture, there's much imagery of vineyards and vines, of grapes and wine. These passages were written in a time and place where vineyards were a common everyday reality for those who gathered to listen. They could relate to the vineyard imagery probably better than most of us here in Anniston can. These vineyard passages would probably have a nuanced meaning in Sonoma Valley or in France that we miss since we don't have the up-close and personal experience of tending a vineyard. Our livelihood is not dependent on the success of the crops of grapes, but maybe we can tap into the sentiment of the landowner or vineyard. Maybe tending is tending, whether it's grapes or tomatoes or any other plant in our care. I have no idea what's truly involved in growing grapes. I've researched it a little and have discovered that there is pruning required and fertilizing. The soil and water must be just so, and the temperature is not too extreme. I have a feeling that growing grapes requires not only tending, but also patience. The reason I can surmise that is that over the past 19 months, I have begun to try to grow orchids. Phalaenopsis only, I was told very quickly that I dare not try anything more exotic. And I'm hoping that growing orchids will be very rewarding at some point in the future, but thus far, it's required much more patience than I can ever hope to have in a lifetime, and has resulted in nothing more than a good deal of unrequited love and care. In 1 week, 6 orchids up and died on me. I felt like an utter failure and was seriously tempted to pitch the rest of them out into the woods. Given my measly and often frustrating experience with orchids who have no mind or will of their own and are totally dependent on my care, I can only imagine the deep frustration and sadness of the vineyard owner, God. He sees what is going on in his vineyard. Isaiah's description begins with the vineyard owner singing a song of love about the vineyard. He's carefully set about clearing the space for the vines, digging the holes, planting the best grapes. He even hewed out a wine vat in expectation of their great yield. He has done everything correctly. He has tended and cared for his vineyard, but it does not produce a good crop. In fact, it yields wild grapes that are sour and of no use whatsoever. All his expectations are dashed, and he's ready to be done with his vineyard. The plans which he had have failed, and so he decides to let the vineyard return to the earth, to its original state, before he puts so much love and energy into it. In the portion of Psalm 80 that we prayed today, we hear the perspective of the remnant of the vine. The psalmist speaks of a time when the vine was thriving and everything was going according to the plan of God, the one who planted and tended the vine. Now life is not going well. The security and favor that the vine, the people of God, had in the past is gone. As Isaiah described, the wall that kept the vine safe has been torn down. The grapes are being eaten by wild boars and other beasts. The people are feeling ravaged. And so the psalmist lifts up their fear and uncertainty and begs that God will come back and care once again for his vine. Those themes are recurrent throughout the Old Testament, that when the people of God remain faithful, that God is near to them and all goes well. But when the people turn away from God, turn to other gods, or behave in ways that are not consistent with God's will, then God removes himself from them and punishes them in a variety of ways, including loss of war or famine, or even being exiled from their homes. And that's the condition in the time that Jesus comes to further the plan of God. The people of God, the people who think that they are the only people of God, the heirs through birthright traced back to Abraham, are now living under Roman rule. the vine is in trouble. The vineyard has come under the care of some questionable tenants. And so Jesus does what Jesus always does when he wants to make folks wrestle with the situation at hand. He tells a parable that uncovers the truth that some would like to have under wraps. This particular parable is about an absentee landowner who has leased his vineyard to some really shady tenants. The tenants are the worst of the worst, who ultimately murder a minimum of 7 people, including the son of the landowner. And even if we find the landowner's judgment to be a bit flawed, we have to admit that the landowner gave his tenants every opportunity to do the right thing. The right thing being to give the landowner his portion of the produce in payment for the lease. The landowner was generous to the point of being unwise. The landowner gave the tenants every opportunity to do the right thing, but they never did. They got so caught up in their own greed and overinflated sense of worth and due that they could not accept the chance to do what was right. They were so stuck in their minds that they couldn't change gears. They couldn't rethink their greed-driven plan and accept the opportunity to do what was right. And we hear that the chief priests and Pharisees realized that Jesus was talking about them. And rather than changing their course and getting back on the right track, rather than doing what God wanted them to do, rather than rethinking and returning to God's plan, they wanted to have Jesus arrested. Rather than looking in the mirror and admitting that they had been wrong, asking forgiveness and starting anew, they kept going down the path with crumbled walls and wild boars. We too have been given the kingdom. We've been asked to be both the vine and to tend the vineyard. We are to stay close to God, to follow his ways, and to care for what God has given us and the place where we have been placed. We have been each brought to Grace Church through a variety of ways, and we are charged to care for our part of the vineyard at Grace Church, and we do a good job of that. We've also been brought into the Diocese of Alabama, and we have been charged to care for our part of the vineyard in the Diocese of Alabama, and we do a pretty good job of that too. A part of our vineyard is located in Nauvoo, Alabama. This part is often referred to as God's backyard. Mark Johnston will tell you more about God's backyard in a minute. Because the yard and the vineyard in our diocese is expanding, and it's up to us to help it grow and attend this particular part of the vineyard. As Mark shares with us about our part of the vineyard, I want us to really wrestle in our hearts and minds with the words of Jesus and the words of Isaiah. God has cared for us, and God has tended us. God has given and given and given to us his love, his kingdom, his vineyard, his son. How do we respond to the landowner?